It's been a week. And probably like you, like a lot of the world, I've watched a lot of leaders this week, global leaders. And I've been aware again that as we come to the text this morning, we have been walking in a wilderness. And we come to the end of our wilderness wanderings in terms of our text today. We're going to be turning our eyes to a new focus starting next week. But we do come to the end of this wilderness wandering period. And I want to remind you where we've come from. Just a quick overview before we get into the text and actually read it, because it needs to sort of embrace the walk that we've had. We looked at the idea and the importance of being aware that we are in the wilderness. We have looked at the question of how we follow God's leaders. So the issue of leadership has been in front of us. We have asked ourselves, how do we see and focus on God's provision and God's protection in the wilderness? How do we find his direction? The Israelites wandered, but God walked with them. We have been reminded as we've gone through these last weeks that we need to watch out for conflict, for what it does to us and what it does to the body. We have to be the people of God. Today, we're going to look at the question of keeping on going, looking forward, finding the hope that God has promised to us. I want to ask that you would stand, open your Bibles. You can do that in either order, but we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm not going to be reading the entire chapter, although I will be looking at the entire chapter this morning. I'm going to start our reading at verse 11. But actually, I want to back up and just pick up the last verse of chapter 29 so that you get a sense of the context. Moses is giving his last speech before the Israelites, before he doesn't get to go into the land of promise. And he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. And then verse 11 from the 30th chapter. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we might hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we might hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, then I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, take this word and put it in our hearts, not just our ears. Put it in our lives, not allow it to simply rest in a book in our laps. Father, would you cause your word to change the way our feet walk, to change our choices. Help us now to hear that voice. In Jesus' name, amen. There have been many, you may be seated. There have been many leaders, and Moses is the leader that has been going in front of his people, the Israelites. And this final speech to them is an amazing speech. I don't know if you, if your heart or your ears were fully able to grasp it, but it is an amazing speech. When he knew that he wasn't going to ever see what was there, he knew that they had been wandering this wilderness for a long time. And he brings the choice again very clearly to God's people. And he says, I want you to choose. Choose today. Choose life. This theme of choose life has been used a lot. It has been used as a drug avoidance campaign. Choose life. Don't choose drugs. It's amazing sometimes how our society picks up bits of truth from Scripture. There's a Buddhist mantra that says, choose life and do no harm. So it's not just Christianity. It's not just the Hebrew Bible that calls us to choose life. It's certainly, when we think about choose life, it's not the political mantra that's happening right now in Eastern Europe. Actually, there's a choice, and I've been impressed by that choice, as probably you have this last week. You've got one leader that is sort of demanding subservience, in a sense saying, give me your life. He tells it to his own people. He tells it to other people. And you've got another leader that is saying, no, the battle is here. Give me ammunition, not a ride. And you've got other leaders that are saying, you fight your battle and we'll send you supplies. And the world watches. How do we choose life? Choose Life was a name of a curriculum that my wife Debbie developed, worked on for many years when she was looking at the problem that was advancing of HIV/AIDS. It was Choose Life for youth, because youth were actually living alone throughout vast parts of Africa. They had no father. They had no mother. They had no aunts. They had no uncles. They were orphans, hundreds of thousands. And they are still orphans today, mind you. They are still, many of them now, married with their own children, but they can't look back to that other generation. That generation was gone. So it was a message to youth, choose life. It was a message to families, choose life. It was a message to husbands, choose life. But the choice of life was always built around the covenant of God, around God's promises. And this text combines the combination of choose life with these words, you can do it. You can do it. And so it's an amazing coming together as we read these words. Yes, choose life, and you can do it. It may be difficult, but you can. I remember a number of years ago when I first took my son Joshua to the top of Mount Kenya. He was 12 at the time. He had been begging me for several years to take him to the top of the mountain. And finally, I said, you're old enough, but it will be a difficult journey for you. And he put his pack on with mine. I carried most of his weight, as I should have, but he still had a pack. And about the second day, as we trudged up the mountain, I know that in his mind he was thinking, what in the world did I want? Why did I ask Dad to do this? My feet are cold. My toes feel like they're about to crack off. I can't breathe anymore. Why did I do this? But he never asked me that, because he'd chosen. And Dad was going to keep going. Yes, we stopped, took his boots off, rubbed his toes, warmed him up, took his pack, put it on mine, and we kept walking. A lot of people have asked me, why did you climb? Why do you climb mountains, Carl? I don't do it anymore. My knees don't take it. But I'll tell you what, there's an incredible view on the top that you don't get from the bottom. And that's why I climb mountains, because I like to look over and see the broad spread of the valleys below me and the other mountain peaks. Although when you climb Mount Kenya, there are no other mountain peaks. You're at the top, and there's nothing else there. When we go through a wilderness, it sometimes is a slough of despond. Sometimes it's just like going up Mount Kenya. There's this region of rock and ice, and you simply go over the scree. Big boulders, little boulders, gravel, dirt. There's not a plant to be seen. Rock and ice, that's all you have. And you keep going, one foot ahead of the other, and often you're not able to find your way. This text brings us to why we go through the wilderness. It reminds us of the journey. And the journey and the reason is because of the covenant of God. So I just want to give you the sort of overview of this. We're going to look at the covenant, which is a promise. And the promise is real. And the reality of that promise is you can do it. That's really simple. But that's what this text tells us. The covenant is a promise. Look at verse 3. We're going to back you up there. We didn't read it, but I want you to look at it now. Verse 3. Verse 2 starts, and it reminds us that in the journey we may wander, we may stray, we may not do what God has called us to do. But the Lord your God has driven you. And if you return, verse 2, to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart, with all your soul, then the Lord will restore you. He will gather you again. So we understand that the promise of God is about the gathering of his people, even when we're scattered. And sometimes we look around and say, "Woo, we've gotten scattered." God says, "I will gather you again." It's my promise. Verse 5 reminds us, if we just look briefly at verse 5, that the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed. In other words, there's a place. God says, "I'm going to gather you. I'm going to bring you into my space." Not necessarily a geographic space, although for the Israelites it was. But for us, it may not be a geographic space. It may be a social space. It may be a spiritual space. He gathers us into his place. The dispossessed will possess. Those that are out will be in. Those that are wandered far will draw near again. And verse 6 then reminds us that it's not only about the people or the place, but it's about the possession. It's about the heart. Let me read verse 6, and you'll see it there. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and that you might live. So he's promising us a heart that chooses. That's the volitional part of our heart. The heart that defines us, That's that emotional soulishness of who we are. It fills us. It's the heart that not just beats within us, but drives us to every step that we take. So God makes a promise to us as a covenant of promise, as a promise of covenant. And when he gives it to us, we recognize that there is something to which we are going. It is not wandering. That's not what God promised. God promised to be with us in our wandering, but we're going somewhere. So if you have felt the pain of the wandering, you need to stop for a moment and refocus. That's actually what I often had to do with my son Joshua as we were trudging up the scree, because often you couldn't see the top. You know, when you get close to the peak of a mountain, you can no longer see it. You're simply on the slope. And you look up, especially if it's a steep one, all you can see is the next bump. And you think, oh, there it is. There's the top. No, that's not the top. It's just the next bump. It's the next rise on the pathway. And when you're coming down from the mountain, you think, oh, that's where I thought I could see the top. But I was a long way away from the top. When you finally get to the top, you know you're there. So it is with our journeying in the wilderness. God says, keep going. The covenant promise is there, and the promise is real. It's the reality of what God has said, and it's our reality. Now, we may have nothing physical, but we do have the riches of God's glory. We do have a sense of who we are. If one simply looks at what's happening in Ukraine today, I confess that I've been particularly burdened by what's happened this last year. I have walked the streets of Kyiv. I've been in the catacombs of Kyiv. I have seen the people of Kyiv in the catacombs with me, weeping and praying over dead bodies that have been there 1,000 years and missing the reality of the living Christ. I have stood in some of those amazing cathedrals as people stand today in the Orthodox Church. They don't sit down. I was there actually on an Easter weekend. And they stood as probably half of the Bible was read. Old Testament, New Testament. And they stood. And the priests that were reading it got tired, and so they took turns reading. Reminded me of the days of Nehemiah. The promises of God, you see, are true. Even if we may find our space around us, our physical space, falling down, blown to pieces, we still have a spiritual reality, the presence of Christ with us. We need to feel the command. We need to feel the covenant that is just there. And that's what was happening to Moses as he was approaching that moment where he looked at the people of God and said, it's here. Go. We have wandered for 40 years. Now go. It's God's great promise. The promise is real. Maybe you're thinking, I can't believe anymore. I doubt. Maybe this promise of God, maybe the church isn't so real after all. A doubt fills your heart. Maybe you look at yourself and say, I've sinned beyond pardon. I can no longer take hold and change the ways that I have chosen. Those ways have now taken hold of me. I can't get out of them. So the sense of hopelessness, despair. Maybe it brings you to the sense of saying, I can't. I feel the defeat. Or you look around and you say, no, I know this person, that person, they have felt the defeat in their life, in the defeat of the church. God has a word for us. the word is, it's not too far away. The word is in you. It is near you. It is abounding around you. Listen to it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Gospel of John tells us. And so that Word of Christ, abides in you. And that's what Moses was looking at. He said, listen, the Word is in you. Moses didn't know Christ as we know Christ. He could only look ahead. We look behind, and we look ahead. And so he could say, yes, the Word is near you. The Word is in your very mouth. The Word is in your heart. Christ is in your heart. Christ is in your mouth. Christ is in you. That's the hope of glory. We stand on the precipice of that which lies ahead, of that which is ahead. And so as Moses calls out to his people, he says, yes, the Word is there. The Word is in you. Now there is a reality of that promise. You can do it. Choose it. You can do it. And you may say, but I can't. I've already tried. I failed. Let me give you some, what the text opens up for us. Look at verse 16. You can do it. First of all, you can love God. And that's what Moses said. He said, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, you can love God. You can. There's no greater love to give or to receive than God's love. You can give that love. You can receive that love. That's the greatest love there is. You can do that. There's no greater hope than embracing that love. Don't leave it on the table. Don't throw it away. Embrace it. Say, yes, it's mine. It guides me. It gives me hope. It fills me with hope. Embrace it. And that love, John says, overcomes fear. The fear that keeps me going forward. The fear that keeps me from speaking. The fear that keeps me from living. The fear that keeps me from loving. God's love overcomes that fear. And that verse tells us not only do we love him, but we walk in his ways. We keep his commandments. You think, well, that's a whole problem. I can't keep his commandments. Well, walk in his ways. He tells us what to do and how to do it. So you just have to listen. And all of us, we just have to listen again and again and again. That's how we receive the blessing and the promise. We listen. We can do that. You can do that. I can do that. I can hear it again. He tells us not only how to love, but how to live. He tells us what to value. And the problem that we have is that I'll speak to myself. Maybe I'm not speaking to you, but I don't want to speak to myself. I constantly value the wrong things. I tend to want to put my values in front of God's values. I want to put my feelings in front of what he says he will put inside of me. And so I value the wrong things. Oh, they may be good things, but they're not the ultimate things. And if I don't choose the ultimate things, then I have not received what God wants to give me. He's simply telling me, and he's telling you, choose life. Walk in my ways. You can do it. You have priorities. You can do it. God says, I will go with you. You can do it. You can follow his promises. That's what Scripture says, that he's given to us these promises. You can follow those promises. Just don't turn away. It's sort of amazing, isn't it, that God puts it before us. Don't turn away from it. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. Don't turn away. It's when you turn away that our eyes fall. That's what happened to Peter. He turned away, he turned his eyes off of Jesus, and he fell. Just keep on. It shouldn't be that hard, should it? But it is. It is. Because we fear. Because we hear the roar of the waves or the roar of the crowd. And it's difficult to focus our eyes. Just keep on. Don't turn away. And listen. Listen for his voice. It will fill you. That's not too hard. Just listen. Well, I'm not very good at reading the Bible for long periods of time. I'm not telling you to read it for long periods of time. That would be a blessing. But just listen every day. Get something out of that. Even if it's a tweet, take the moment. Be refreshed in God's voice. Let it penetrate you. Not long, just short. One of the amazing things that I've seen is I've watched Zelensky, a comedian, used to be. He walks around now filming himself in Kyiv, little short snaps of videos. People don't see him, but all of a sudden he's galvanized the nation because they get these little pieces. That's all God's saying. Listen to my voice. Get the little pieces. Draw near to me again. And so it is. We need to speak of him. It's not about preaching sermons. Just speak what he's done. What he's done in your life today. What did he do last week? Speak it. Speak it to somebody else. Speak it when you go outside today. Speak it inside the church. Speak it to somebody you haven't spoken to. What is it that God has done for you? Remind each other. You can do it. That's what Moses was telling Israel. You can do it. We climb Mount Kenya. And As I climbed Mount Kenya, I pointed out the cairns. You know what a cairn is? A little pile of rocks. When there's no way of following a trail, you know, when the National Park Service hasn't cleared off a trail and you don't have little walkways, you have to follow little piles of rock that actually somebody put there. And you would look from one cairn to the next. And I'd ask Josh, do you see the next one? No, Dad, I don't see it. Well, look just over there. Where, Dad? Oh, now I see it. You mean those two rocks that are standing on top of the third? Yeah, that's the cairn. Now, can you look a little farther than that and see the next one? And he could. Sometimes you could see three or four or five all stretched out. I said, that's the trail. Keep walking. But I have to stop and rest, Dad. It's okay, we'll stop and rest. But there's the cairns. Keep going. We won't reach the top unless we keep going. It's hard. He finished that trip and he went back again and again. My younger son, Jesse, heard about the trips and he wanted to go. But he had a heart condition. He couldn't go to the top of Kenya. So instead we climbed the Drakensbergs in South Africa. All God's saying is, take the journey. Choose. Choose life today, one step at a time, one cairn at a time. You can do it. Choose life today. Choose life and God will bring his future. Choose life for yourself and for your family. This is a family adventure and God will bring you there to his space. Choose life for your community, for your church. Jesus is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your cairn. I am your pile of rocks. I am the one that will lead you to the next step. Don't despair where you're going. You will reach the top, and you will be able to look out over all of the valleys that you have come through. I will go with you, Jesus says. I am your life. I will hold you in the darkness of your own doubt. I will hold you. Jesus says, I will give you a future free of guilt and free of shame. Only Jesus can do that. Moses couldn't do it. Moses could remind the people of how they'd wandered. And he said, God will bring you back. He'll gather you again. Jesus says, I will forgive you. I will cleanse your guilt. Christ will walk with you when you're overwhelmed. And I know your lives. You have been slammed in these last weeks and months. When you're overwhelmed, he will pick you up. He will pick up the pieces, and he will put them together again. That's your Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's the one that goes before us, that leads us into his holy space. You might feel somehow that a brokenness in your family is your fault. You might look at this congregation and say, well, we faltered. Maybe it's my fault. God calls you, Christ calls you, simply to choose life. Not to dwell on what has failed, what has happened, what is broken, what is wrong, but to choose today life. And you can do it. You can hear. You can see. You can embrace. Choose life. And God will bring you to his space. He will walk with you. He will speak to you. He will fill you again with his promise. Choose well. Choose deeply. Choose what's the most important. Choose Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would move upon us, enable us to choose, for on our own we will choose poorly. The gods of this world clamor for our affection. The people of this world clamor for our attention. The things of this world clamor for attention. The pressing schedules of this world clamor for our attention. Father, speak to us in a small voice, in the big booms, in single words. Take the brokenness, put it back together again. Show us how to love you. Walk with us. This is your promise. And we simply speak it back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.